Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
You know, I got a little timer.
Oh, look at you, fucking professional.
I got my cute little timer. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're back. Anthony Smith is with us. Praise the goddamn Lord. No offense to Harrington. We love you, buddy, of course. But Anthony Smith, how the hell are you doing, bud?
I am great. It is the last week of training camp, which, you know, is the best. It's usually the hardest week, but it's like it doesn't even matter because you know it's the last week and you're already pretty much ready. Like, I could go fight right now, but I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to get after it.
The last week, for those people that don't fight, it's because obviously it's so grueling, the training process, you know what I mean? And you cannot wait for it to be over. But the last week is always a dodgy one for me because you are correct. You're ready to go. You don't need to do any more training. But I was always like, push it, push it. Let's do one last sparring session. And then, of course, like a dickhead, I used to always get hurt, do my ribs, cut myself or something like that. So, Anthony, if you're ready to go, buddy, take it easy, my friend.
Yeah, they never let me spar the last week because because you know how you get, like, you really want to really bad by this point. So then when they don't let me, then I'm real fucking edgy and I'm just like, you really feel like you need to go and they won't let you. So you kind of feel like a dog on a leash. So then you go through fight week and then you're just like a goddamn serial killer because you've just been held back the whole time. So fortunately, I think I'm, you know, my last sparring session went fucking great last week. So I'm ready, dude.
See, that's the thing. I always try to end on a good one. You know what I mean? If I said this was my last sparring session and it didn't go well, because, you know, that's the way it goes. You're trying to spar with the best people possible. And sometimes you might get your ass kicked. Sometimes you don't get a chance to carry out the game plan. You can't get the takedowns. You're not landing the shots you planned or whatever it is. If the last sparring session doesn't go well, I used to always do another one because psychologically, I always wanted to end on a good one. Do you do that?
No, I'm like the opposite. I have had the most shit sparring this whole camp. And every time that happens, it's great. Every time that happens, I have the best performances. I don't know what it is. It's just, I got a lot of really good guys around me right now. And it's this weird thing going on where we're all together training our asses off, but they're also getting better too. So then, you know, I was in North Carolina and then I'm home and then I go back to North Carolina. Well, like in that week, they found something that like I've been taking advantage of with them. And so that while I'm gone, they're fixing it. And then I go back and it's not there anymore. So then so it's this weird game where I keep going back and forth. And so like I'll take advantage of a hole that I found and then they close it while I'm gone. And the same thing's happening here at home. You know, I got Jordan here and he's from the Ultimate Fighter, the season that's going on right now. I believe he just got eliminated, but big, strong monster heavyweight. But since he's been training with us, he's been getting really good, really fast. It's a bunch, you know, how it is new coaches, new place, new, you grow quickly. So then I'm gone for a week in North Carolina. I come back here and he's a different dude. So
what you're saying is all these people that you're training with, because of you, they are getting better. I mean, come on, look at
that. I mean, it's
you
a possibility.
Are training for a fight, and all your main focus is to raise the game of all your training partners. Find those holes, let them fix on it. You disappear for a little bit off to fucking Aruba. Tell me, what were you doing in Aruba? You're supposed to be in training camp.
I'm a free spirit, Michael Bisping. I'm a free spirit, and sometimes I just get up and go. So typically 2 weeks before every fight, I try to do something different. And I'm already in great shape. It's not like I went out and just went on a vacation. Aruba has a fantastic training facility there. There's a gym there. It's called the Millard Academy. It's owned by Gregory Millard. He fights in Bellator, longtime kickboxer. He's fought a bunch of decent guys. Really, really great striker though. Really good striker. So I went there, trained with him. They got this this smaller Brazilian guy that is their jiu-jitsu coach. Speaks zero English. Doesn't even speak the language. They speak in Aruba either.
What did he speak? That Aruban.
I don't. It's a weird, like
Spanish,
a lot of.
I'm assuming.
It's like Dutch and Spanish, but together. It's a weird play. Aruba's a weird place. I loved every fucking second of it, but I trained my ass off. There's a bunch of big
Danish, you could say Dutch, Spanish,
Dutch,
whatever.
Danish.
Papiamento is the official local language.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah, papiamento.
That's what I said.
Yeah, pop yourself off the screen, Brian, with your big smart ass.
But where else in the fucking world can you go train with a bunch of just big ass tough motherfuckers in the morning? And by the afternoon, you're swimming with sea turtles in the ocean.
I mean, I've been doing training camp wrong this whole time.
I'm just a weird guy. I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a lot of fun. Let's just go do that shit. So that's what I did.
Yeah, but it was great. So good, because it's the monotony of training camp. I mean, yes, of course, you know, it hurts. You know, it actually is physically painful. It's mentally stressful. You have to cut out all the other, you know, distractions, maybe other opportunities. Mm-hmm. You can cost money, but also the monotony, the same thing. That's why towards the end, the last few years, I was very lucky. Kendall Grove, who I was on the Ultimate Fighter with, he used to come and stay at my house and do his training camps whilst I was in camp, and just having someone in the car with me, you know, doing that 45-minute drive to the gym, sitting in traffic, just having a brother with me that I could talk through, who's going through the same things. He was dieting, I was dieting. Just having somebody to talk to and to, I don't know, you know, lean on occasionally was so beneficial. So I can only imagine what it's like going to fucking Aruba, breaking up that monotony and swimming with sea turtles.
Yeah, I brought my boxing coach with me just to make sure.
Of course you did, because you're a professional.
Because I know me. I'm like, I just won't push it that hard today. I'm a little sore and tired. You know, like, so I brought him and he scheduled all the training sessions. He got all the guys together. All I had to do was show up at the practice times. And then I knew what time they were at. And in between there, I was swimming in the ocean and I went parasailing. And you know, I did a whole bunch of really, rode jet skis. Like, I trained my fucking ass off, but I also had a good time just relaxing. And, you know, my wife was with us and had a couple friends. It was a blast, man. I had a lot of fun training my ass off. Meanwhile, you're here.
No, because I was going to say, you know, I was going to say all work and no play makes Anthony a dull boy. But meanwhile, we got Magomed Ankalaev going, brother, this guy, he's fucking swimming with turtles. This fight going to be number one easy fight in my life. Yeah. Anthony Smith fucking walking the park. Okay, swim with turtles, parasail. No, this is not how we train in Dagestan.
Well, that's probably what he thinks too. He's like, this piece of shit. He's probably mad too. Like, this piece of shit thinks that I'm just going to be such an easy fight.
He's disrespecting me.
He went on vacation.
This motherfucker's been on 3 vacations. I mean, where have you have had a lot of vacations. You've been WWE'd, you've been Aruba-ing, you've been with Aruban, you've been, where else? You've been to a few, you went fucking on the Raptors.
Yeah, I went Roma Razors.
Razors.
Dude,
don't give a fuck.
You know what? Maybe I should stop.
Hey, no. That's, you're doing the right thing. Jason Perillo.
Good balance.
Correct. I used to want it so badly that I used to mind fuck myself. It mattered so much to me that I would overdo everything. And then on top of that, my mind was going a million miles an hour and I was frazzled. And you got to learn sometimes to be able to step back. Less is more. Be able to step off the gas and not going a million miles an hour all the time. Having, I say it all the time, Perillo's is his saying, takes confidence to take a day off, or it takes confidence to say, you know what? I don't need to do 3 sessions today. You know, I can fucking have a good one in the morning and then I can go fucking parasailing with a Ruben.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get to that spot. When I was younger, I kind of mind fucked myself. It was like every day, all day, it's all I thought about was that one guy in that fight in that moment. And it makes you hate it. It makes you hate it. And I've had more fun this training camp, and I know everybody says this in every single interview.
Bro, it sounds like you had more fun than I had on my vacation.
I had a blast. But like, you can look at the numbers. I'm stronger than I've ever been. Like that's easily, you know, you can easily see that. And conditioning wise and speed and like how I'm moving, I feel better than I've felt. I'm sure that there's been times I felt better, but like, I can't think of a time where I felt better and like physically in better shape than I am right now. And I'm happy. I'm in a really good place. You know, I did my best to enjoy a little bit of the summer while also, you know, getting some good training in. I'm sure that if I look like shit, and I'm sure I'll hear about it.
Hey, you will hear about it, but you're not. You're going to do amazing. I'm very, very excited for you. Fight week next week, of course, getting very, very close. So good luck with the rest of the camp. By the way, that has to be the name of today's episode. Parasailing with a Ruben. has to be. I will be leaving very shortly to the airport. I'm heading off for UFC London shortly. But we had some news today. My flight's just been delayed only by 40 minutes. Takes a little bit of the stress off because I am last minute Larry. You know, I'm rushing around like a goddamn fucking maniac trying to do a million things this morning. The flight has been slightly delayed, but it could have been completely cancelled because a lot of flights in the UK are cancelled because we are going through record-breaking weather. Right. It is so hot in the UK right now that the runways are melting. The RAF airbase, you know, Royal Air Force, the military, Luton Airport, they're all fucking, the runways are actually melting. Some of the train tracks, the trains aren't running because the train tracks are apparently melting. And I'm like, hold on a minute. What are you talking about?
What's this shit made out of?
But that's what I'm saying. We're not on the surface of fucking Mars. Venus or Mercury. You know what I mean? It's a hot day. Why is metal fucking melting?
This is... So what's the temperature there right now?
Come on with the facts and the details, Harrington, because you've got the...
temperature right now?
It's going to be like 41 degrees Celsius, which is about, I don't know.
What the hell's that in regular people?
105 or something. I don't know, something. But go on, Harrington. And welcome to the show. Round of applause for Harrington, everybody. Holding down the fort while Anthony...
Look at that beard growing back. That's so fast. Jesus.
I'm offended, Anthony, but continue.
It's what I can do. I just sit here and think real hard and my beard comes back. It's pretty cool. So it's between 40 and 41 Celsius, which, as Mike said, is between 104 and 108. And that's enough to melt the runways at the Royal Air Force Base and the nearby Luton Airport. It's actually gotten so bad. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
A certain movie theater chain is offering free admission for any redheads just to keep them out of the heat. It's too damn hot in England for the redheads.
So basically, if you're a ginger, you can go to the cinema for free to get out of the heat. What do you think of that, Anthony?
You know how much I love and care about my my UK people.
Yes.
But it is not that fucking hot. 105 is not that bad. Well, listen, this is, we got to toughen them up a little bit. If they're going to come here to Nebraska and come hang out, you got to train yourself a little bit. Go outside. That's a normal day. It's fucking 1 o'clock here and it's like 95.
Yeah. Hold on.
Normal.
I get it. You're right. But you're built for that. You're used to that.
Well, okay. What's a normal summer temperature?
Oh, 27, like fucking 75.
Okay. That makes a difference.
Those of us that's, with that's hot as it gets.
Yes.
I appreciate the movie theater though, because I have two redheads. Two of my kids are redheads and really, really white. They're white as shit. So I appreciate them doing that to get them out of the sun and the heat.
But I'm offended.
Why?
I'm offended. So what? So hold on a minute. So if I'm walking down the street, I land in London tomorrow, which is going to be the hottest day. I didn't bring any sun cream with me. You know what I mean? I'm walking down the street. I'm burning. I haven't got my wallet on me. I've been for a run because I'm trying to lose some weight, but I need to get out of the sun. But because I haven't got ginger hair and I haven't got freckles and I'm not a nerd, right? And I haven't had a girlfriend and I'm a virgin, I can't get in there for free. This is prejudice against people with regular colored hair.
Well, okay. Maybe a little bit prejudiced, maybe just a little bit, but these poor redheaded white skinned
Brian
people
just said in
have
the
been
chat,
suffering.
I'm offended.
I'm part
I'm
ginger.
I'm offended. My poor kids, they got to deal with this shit all the time. So if they get to go to the movies for free one time, fuck it, I'm okay with it.
I'm actually ginger. When this beard grows,
I was gonna say I see a little bit of a red tint going on there in that that beard you got.
Well, I'm half.
You might
Irish.
Be able to sneak. You might be able to sneak in.
My mom's side.
Me, not a fucking chance. They're not letting me in at all.
I don't know. I'd love to see you with ginger.
I'll show them a picture of my grandma and say, look.
To be fair though, we don't have air conditioning in the houses in England. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just not designed for that. But
like they have like no AC, like no window units or anything like that.
No, because most of the time it's cold and wet and rainy and shitty.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
See, that's when I was in Aruba, as hot and as humid as it was so humid. It's pretty humid here in Nebraska. It was real bad there. There's no central air anywhere. It's all like wall units and window units. I'm like, why don't you guys get some central air or something?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the fancier, newer houses may have air conditioning and stuff, but the old schools, you know, definitely not. Do you know what always gets me? Because I've seen it on the weather, because I watch a lot of British news still to stay in touch. Every time, but even out here in the States, anytime it's hot, they're always giving you advice on what to do to stay cool. You know, make sure to drink plenty of water. So listen, you fucking idiot. I don't need you to tell me not to die of thirst, okay? If I'm really sweating a lot, I'm going to take a sip. Is that the best advice you've got? Make sure you drink plenty of water. Stay out of the direct sun. Wear sunscreen and make sure your little furry friends don't walk on the tarmac because it's going to burn their pads. Shut up.
Okay, so the air conditioning thing does change my outlook on the problem.
See?
If there's not a lot of... What are they doing then? Where are all these people? What about like the older folks? What the hell are they doing? It's if 105 with no AC,
they're having
I'm leaving the country. I'm getting
they're
on a plane.
A bad time. They are. It's not going to last for long though. Don't worry about it.
Is it just a couple days?
All you people sitting there sweating yourself silly right now, stuck to your fucking leather couches. In 3 days...
I'd sleep in the car. In the car.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be back down normal, but I can't wait to get there. The hottest day is Tuesday. I'll be there. But still, enough of that. Harrington, there was one story which gives us a beautiful segue. And this is all Harrington, so I can't take it. But don't ruin the segue just yet, Harrington. But come on and set up this story.
Okay. MLB pitcher, former Cy Young winner Chris Sale yesterday took a pretty nasty comebacker in the first inning of a game against the Yankees. Brian, if you want to pull that up.
A comebacker?
Yeah, comebacker. Like a ball was hit.
That should be the name of the show. Pretty nasty comebacker.
Anthony, I'm sorry. You do not get to pick the names of the show. Know your place.
Dude, the power struggle is real.
Christ, right. He can have it. I don't want the steering wheel. He can have it.
Fuck off back to Aruba, okay?
So a comebacker is
Harrington, don't give up the segue. I want to see if Anthony can pick it. Guess it, but go on.
Not gonna. A comebacker is it's a line drive, right? Where it's hit off the batter, you know, just directly back to the pitcher. They got very, very little time to react. And this was a pretty, pretty rough one for Chris Sale.
And that hit Sale.
I see why it's called a comebacker now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it came back.
It really got
him. Oh, gross.
Right back at you.
Yeah, that's broken.
Yeah. So anyway, enough of that.
Yeah, that's a broken.
So as you can see there, Anthony, he's competing in a professional sport and sadly got injured. One might say that perhaps the finger was dislocated. How does that relate to the world of mixed martial arts and what this podcast is driven by?
I don't know.
Oh. Huh. See, that's why you can't officially take over this podcast.
That's why you're driving this ship.
You don't fucking know. Anyone out there, the believers, where are we going with this? Dislocated finger. Brian, stop. Dislocated finger. Mixed martial arts. Dislocated part of body. Main event on ABC at the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Damn it.
Come on.
What a fantastic segue. Ugh. Speaking of dislocated limbs.
Speaking of this weekend, Williams, this weekend at ABC, USC on ABC main event.
You know you want one of those jackets.
You know you want one of those jackets.
You have two?
No.
Oh.
I would have killed for one.
Me too. Damn it.
I mean, I've got the Hall of Fame jacket, so.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Plus, I only get to work the desk, so I wouldn't have gotten one anyways.
No, but Dean Thomas got one.
I think it's because he sits and does that coach's corner shit. Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Makes sense.
The easiest job there out there.
I don't know. I think he does a good job. Trevor Whitman was very, very good as well. But I got to say, Dean Thomas, he's got a lot of personality. He's a funny guy. What's even funnier is the way that he dresses sometimes. Shout out Dean Thomas, by the
way. Shout out Dean. Yeah. It's sometimes I get nervous. Like when I know I'm working with Dean, I got to like really come correct. I got to look real nice. Cause if you're just, you know, every once in a while you'll go work and you're like, I just wear this jacket and this shirt, whatever. I'm just going to go.
In London, he was wearing a cravat.
What's that?
Do you know what a cravat is? Hamilton, Brian, just look up cravats and show us a picture. It's like, it's not a tie. It's like a big, it's like a bloody, a cravat. It's like a big frilly thing that you put over.
Oh, okay. I've seen him wear. I didn't know what it was called though.
Yeah, a cravat.
I've seen him wear a cravat.
There you go. That is not a cravat. That's a fucking kipper shaped tie. You know what a kipper is?
I don't know.
It's a fish. I will teach you. My God. You're really all in on this training camp, aren't you?
I'm in command
of the basic English language. You're not doing segues. You're swimming with turtles when you there you go. Oh, cravatty.
Oh, Jesus. You need to get one.
I'm going to. I was devastated when I saw Dean wearing it. I'm like, bastard. I should have done that. All right, real quick, I want to talk about BetterHelp. Listen, they've supported this show for a long time and they're going to help support you. No doubt if you're listening to this, if you've got a problem, if you're going through something, or you just need assistance, you know, like myself when I went to anger management, maybe it's something like that. Maybe it's relationship advice. Maybe you've got anxiety, depression, whatever it is. If you speak to somebody, it will help. It will help get it off your chest and help get you on the road to recovery. So that's why BetterHelp is so great, because it offers professional counseling done securely online. So, you know, no bloody sitting in traffic, driving to the side of town, walking in there, waiting in a waiting room, sitting in with somebody that's weird. If you don't like these people, it's easy to switch up. They've got a massive wide range of counselors available for you. It is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. So it's easy to get started. So whatever you are dealing with, BetterHelp can help. And once you sign up, BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who you can communicate with in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. Okay. Check this out. If you've got a problem and you're worried and you're like, you know, just going for therapy alone, that can be a daunting process. Doing it this way is a lot easier. You know, it's just a FaceTime with some person that is trained to help you through these environments. Go to betterhelp.com/believe. Join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Go to betterhelp.com/believe. That is betterhelp.com/believe. to get 10% off your first month. One more time, betterhelp.com/believe for 10% off your first month, and good luck. Anyway, let's get on to some mixed martial arts. Yair Rodriguez, Brian Ortega at the weekend. Massive, massive platform for them, by the way, on ABC. Had all the makings of a tremendous fight. Got off to a fantastic start. I thought Yair Rodriguez looked sensational, was finding the mark. He was hitting Brian Ortega almost at will, landed a beautiful 1-2, did hit the ground, arm pops out. I'll hand the mic over to you, my friend.
Yeah, fuck, man. That's about it. You know, it kind of got left with blue balls. I think that was going to be a fantastic fight. It was another one of those situations where there's no way that goes to a decision, at least in my opinion. Now, there's no way those guys can fight for 25 minutes. Yair's too good on his feet. I think he's just that much better than Ortega. I think that the whole fight would have looked like what the beginning of it looked like in the striking department. But I was, you know, if Ortega can get some takedowns and he can slow him down a little bit, I don't think Yair would argue if you said Yair Rodriguez can't spend any amount of time on the ground with Brian Ortega. It just can't. So man, it sucks because I was really credit to Yair though for like swimming for that armbar right away. A lot of times you get one guy that's really, really fantastic at jiu-jitsu and the other guy isn't. They hit the ground and that guy's just scrambling to his feet. Look at Yair, he goes right to an armbar. You know what I mean? Like he starts attacking.
It was the shin in armbar as well, which is even harder to get in that situation, but still very good to go for it against. Just pull that up again, please, Brian, because I wanted to see. Hold on, let's have a look. So yeah, I mean, he's legit going for the armbar. And the point that I'm making here, press play.
Look how he's got it. He's got an overhook too. If you go back just a little bit, Brian, right there. See, it looks like it's overhooked right there with his left arm.
Yep.
It's deep.
Yeah.
I guess that's the point. It's in there pretty, it's in there good.
Well, it is deep. And then that leads me to this next point because, you know, that wasn't a freak injury. That wasn't a case of, by the way, I'm not trying to criticize Brian Ortega or big up Yair Rodriguez. It was a shame. It was unfortunate. But it's almost, I would say, you know, I mean, look at Anderson Silva when he snapped his leg against Chris Weidman. Whenever you see that happen, there's a cause and an effect. You know what I mean? The cause was the armbar. The effect was the shoulder popping out. It wasn't a freak injury. It's not like he threw a shot, it didn't hit anything, and whoa, it came out. That happened because, in my opinion, he was defending an armbar. So
yeah,
it's
an injury from a submission attempt.
Correct.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter and, you know, kind of people like, oh, that sucks. No one really won. Like, if I'm Yair, I'm saying, I mean, like, you dislocated your arm. It's not the way you want to win, but it's a legitimate submission attempt. And it was deep. And again, credit to him for even trying because he knows that he wasn't anywhere near Brian Ortega on the ground. But like a lot of guys would have turned they would have given their back up trying to get to the fence. You know, he immediately started fishing for a submission. Like, credit to him.
Because to your point before, Anthony, you know, Brian Ortega, he's a tough son of a bitch. So even though, yes, Yair was starting to land, you know, we've seen that before. We've seen Brian Ortega get landed on, but he's got he's so durable. He's got a great chin and he's tough as fuck and he's got a will to win. And we've seen Yair get off to a really, really fast start, like against Max Holloway. But of course, Max came round in the later two rounds and clearly won that fight. So it looked like, well, what am I saying? Yeah, you did win. And it was legitimate, but it was unfortunate. But what do you do? Do you run that back? Because after our discussion just then, I don't really think there's a need.
I think especially with the injury, I think you just let Yair go on. You know, if it was a foul or something that you could run back pretty quick, you know, maybe you do that. But I think he's going to be out for a while. Probably, I don't know. I hope he doesn't have to have surgery, but shoulder injuries take forever to heal. So, man, I think you just let Yair go on and do whatever he's got to do next. But I also feel like because of this, Josh Emmett is going to get slighted again. Like, I keep sounding that horn, man. I think Josh Emmett versus Volkanovski is the fight. I think that's the fight. I think he's got the better wins than anybody right now. I think he poses the biggest problem for the champion right now. I mean, listen, I love Yair, love watching him fight, love everything about him. I think that it's kind of a tailor-made matchup for Volkanovski, though. I think that's Volkanovski gets in there, gets in tight, gets a takedown.
You know what I mean? Tailor-made matchup for Volkanovski. Yair, El Pantera, Bisping.
Oh, now you're going to get him all fucking mad at me. And you guys kind of got a temper. I don't
he attacked me in an octagon. I shit my pants. do you know what? That actually brings us to another tremendous segue. We planned it. You mentioned Volkanovski there and potentially fighting Rodriguez. Breaking news on Saturday, obviously. Charles Oliveira versus Islam Makhachev, and Volkanovski tweeted out, hey, I want the winner. You know, so there's a potential that Volkanovski might not fight in the meantime. So you never know. They could do an interim title because if he's going to go up and fight the winner of that, which to be honest, if I'm Volkanovski, I would want to do. Why wouldn't you want to do that? Because you're not going to risk anything. And that gives potentially Josh Emmett and Yair Rodriguez a chance to fight for an interim belt, which I could see how anybody in the comments might be saying it's too soon, but we don't know the time frame. You know what I mean? So it gives those guys, they can fight out number one contender, get a nice little shiny belt and fight Volkanovski when he comes back. But Charles.
Well, and Volkanovski's injured too, right? Because I've seen him do a video promoting for this the fight over the weekend, and he's got a cast on his thumb.
The thumb.
Yeah, so he had a cast on, and then if he's going to be injured, and then he wants to fight the winner of Makhachev and Charles Oliveira, I think Emmett and Yair Rodriguez is probably it's one of the few times where I'm like, yeah, let's do an interim title fight, even though it's a little early. I would be totally cool with that. I'd love to watch that fight.
So Volkanovski's got a sore thumb. What did the baseball player have? What was it called? A backer hitter or something?
Comebacker that broke his pinky.
Bro, Volkanovski's thumb. The old comebacker. Charles Oliveira, Islam Makhachev, Fight Island, UFC 280. Early thoughts on that. I'm not asking for a prediction or anything, but what do you think?
Man, I'm kind of at the point where I'm done. I gotta give Charles. Yeah,
Charles.
I gotta give Charles Oliveira his credit. I keep telling myself, like, you know what? Next time I'm not gonna underestimate him. Next time I'm not gonna count him out. And I find myself wanting to do that right now, and I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna allow myself to, for whatever reason. I thought Gaethje had the power and the durability to land a big shot on Oliveira. I thought he was a good enough wrestler to defend the takedowns. Oliveira kind of shut Gaethje off with a left hook, which we haven't really seen anybody do like that. So the Chandler fight, he just looks so good. And I've seen, you know, as I've been working the desk a little bit, and, you know, I'm traveling, and so I've been seeing him a bunch. He travels with his coach. Every time I see him, he's training. Every single time.
It's a bunch this guy of is, blonde assassins.
This guy is fucking working. Like, he is motivated. He is focused. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it was for you, but every once in a while you see a new champion, and they get wrapped up in that champ life, and it's gold chains and parties and cars. And like, I just don't get that vibe like that with Charles. I feel like it's like he's still grinding. Like, he's still chasing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying, but I do the same thing with Adesanya. You know, I have tremendous respect for Adesanya. Mm-hmm. I think he's an incredible champion, but I have, like, every time I'm like, oh, this one's going to be a bad matchup for him. It's not because I don't think he's competent, not that I don't think he's great, but I do the same thing with Charles Oliveira, and I'm almost tempted. I mean, I know what I think. Right, but I might lie. I think, well, Charles Oliveira does get hit. Charles Oliveira does get dropped, which is awesome. That's what makes him the most exciting fighter in the UFC right now. Islam Makhachev doesn't make mistakes. Islam Makhachev is clinical. He can probably, he's a better takedown artist. On the ground, I reckon he can match him. And on the feet, he doesn't really take shots the way Charles doesn't. He's got a great team. He's coming from
Dagestan. I can hear myself on ESPN saying Khabib. It right now.
He's got Khabib in the corner. You know, Charles had a tremendous run as the lightweight champion, but the lightweight belt is going back to Dagestan, to the brothers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I always do to bloody Israel Adesanya as well. And every time I get proved wrong. You know, and I don't know which way I'm leaning right now, but on paper, it's crazy to say. It's easier to lean towards Islam than what it is to Charles.
And I have no information. I can't show you anything that can prove that. Because does he get hit more often? For sure. But has he fought the higher competition? Has he beat the better guys? Like Oliveira? For sure. I think Oliveira's got the better wins. I think he's beat the tougher guys. He's been in the tougher situations. So yes, he does get hit more often, but he's fighting better people. So like, I can hear myself, like you said, I can see myself sitting on the desk saying and giving you reasons why I think Makhachev could win, but I don't have any like actual data to back it up. So like, I just need to really sit down and just really try to, I don't know. I need to do a better job. Maybe giving Charles Oliveira a cleaner look.
Hating on Charles Oliveira.
I'm not. I love that guy.
You're fucking hating on
that guy. No, I love that guy.
I'm going to tell him. No, but when you look at the wins, for Charles Oliveira,
what you said.
It's don't tell him. It's Justin Gaethje, Dustin Poirier, Michael Chandler.
The Poirier one is so fucking impressive to me.
Tony Ferguson.
So impressive.
You know, there was last four. And then for Islam, it's Bobby Green, Dan Hooker. I'm not sure who came before that. Thiago Moises, good win, but still, we're not. Bobby Green's a tough guy, but we're not talking Gaethje.
Dustin Poirier.
Poirier, you know, they're top of the food chain. They're the biggest guys, the biggest draws, the hardest hitting, the most experienced, the biggest names, and Oliveira's going through them. Anyway, I'm excited. Well done. Big fight for Charles Oliveira. Plus, he gets his pay-per-view points, Dana said at the weekend, which is
he's going to give them to him? That's cool. Yeah.
That's he should. Cool. Come on. Yeah. He's the champ. He's the fucking champ. I don't care what they say. Harrington, give us another bit of stupidity then. Go on. I mean, if he's even listening. He's not even.
What are you doing, Harrington?
Sorry. I got a whole bunch of different Chrome tabs. It's this is a whole
smoking all that weed and you get lost in the sauce.
I have not had none today. Absolutely none. I am 100% focused on this. So check this out. I don't know if you've seen this. This video was all over the internet this weekend. A person went out to eat at a Japanese restaurant and the food bit back. Brian, if you want to pull this up.
I haven't seen this.
You haven't seen this?
No.
This was like on the front page of Reddit. It was all over Instagram and Twitter. I really want to know if you guys would eat at a restaurant that has these kind of conditions.
Hold on. Ah. So it's still alive for the audio listeners. It's munching. The fish basically sat up, yawned. Oh God, I'm almost dead, but go on, I'll try and fight back. Give us a nibble on that chopstick.
Nah.
You wouldn't eat there?
Fuck that.
No?
That ain't it.
I don't mind a little bit of sashimi. I like sashimi, but I like it with, you know, a bit of soy sauce, a bit of wasabi in there. And there's only
without the head?
Definitely without the head. Like Callum, when we go to this Thai restaurant by our house, you can get the whole spicy catfish. I'm like, no. Because it comes with a fucking head on. And I don't want to see it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In this day and age, are we really eating fish with their heads on? Have you ever been to Thailand, Anthony?
No. Just the way you said that was funny.
Are we eating fish with their heads on?
Are we eating fish with their heads on?
I hate it when I go to a fancy place and I get shrimp and they have the fucking heads on. Because they're horrible little things with the little eyes. On, like,
yeah,
the
little
antennas.
Creepy little things. Yeah.
Oh, God. Just de-shell the bastard for me, please. Thailand, they eat some freaky things. I love Thailand. I'm due to go back there soon because
it's love just to go to Thailand.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But they have some freaky stuff. You see all the tourists like eating giant cockroaches on sticks, you know, and it's just like bunches of dead insects floating in water. And I'm like, no chance. Mm. What is the most disgusting thing you've eaten?
I don't know. There's a big testicle festival here. Never had Rocky Mountain oysters? It's like,
are you talking about
bull balls?
No.
Yeah, it's like cow testicles.
That's really the funniest sentence you've ever said. Oh, we got a big testicle festival coming up.
It is. I don't know if it's coming up, but there's a big testicle festival here in Nebraska, and you go there and you can get them fried and boiled and all sorts of different ways you can cook them. There's a couple of restaurants so you can order them off the menu.
I'm really curious. What is your favorite way to ingest testicles?
Testicle. Probably.
What is your favorite way?
Sliced and deep fried.
You like to suck on them?
No, they're sliced. They're like chips, kind
of. There's a lot of places in the country where you have to like watch out when you order fries. Like if you go to Colorado and you order just fries expecting french fries, you will get a plate of bowl balls.
You will.
No,
you can't. Yes. Some places, yeah.
Nah, well, I'm they're very immature.
They're not bad.
No, I've seen good. It. I remember seeing it.
Oh, do you like gizzards?
Again, not familiar with gizzards. This is where the real Lionheart Smith is coming into play. Now we're seeing real Nebraska. Yeah. Oh, hey, my best man, y'all like that gizzard? Come here and nibble on these balls, son.
Yeah, I don't even know what a chicken gizzard does. It's like an organ, but like
the gizzard. Yeah, sorry,
I don't know. You can get like the gizzards and the hearts, like chicken hearts.
Yeah,
really good. So I think a lot. That's pretty normal for me. And
what do you call it when you get like a big turkey and you pull out the insides? What is that called? Not chicklets. What's it called? Rebecca.
Giblets.
The giblets.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. You got to eat all them giblets.
You gotta suck on those balls and eat on those giblets. Fight of the night Saturday. Did you get to see all the fights in between all your vacationing and hitting the bag for 5 minutes?
Well, so it was like a really early card. So I missed a couple while I missed some while I was training. Because I do got a fight coming up. So I was training. But I think I've seen most of them.
Let me ask you this. This is where I'm going.
I'm pretty mad at Dustin Jacoby, by the way. I don't like.
Oh, yes.
Good friend of mine. He just gone on and got a couple bonuses now. Now I can't get him to answer the phone to come on the podcast.
Because we were going to get him on the podcast today. He had a tremendous win.
Yeah, I seen him on Ariel today. So. So we can have him and I are talk whenever he decides to hit me back. Okay.
Our numbers are doing better than Ariel, and we don't have the backing of ESPN.
We don't have the machine.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's on MMA Fighting. They've got over 1 million subscribers. DC and RC, they're on MMA, ESPN, over 1 million subscribers. We're hardcore, old school, authentic. Mm-hmm. We don't answer to the man. You know what I mean? We do it our way. We're real. Exactly. We're honest.
Exactly. And maybe that's probably why. He was like, you know what? I'm going to go over here where I'm getting these easy softball questions.
Corporate MMA. Who wants that?
Nobody.
All right. Anyway, the question I was going to ask, Matt Schnell versus Sue Madaji. What an unbelievable fight. Shane Burgos versus Charles Jourdain. Unbelievable fight. Who, in your opinion, should have got fight of the night?
You know, the Burgos fight was really good, but I have a tough time not giving it to just with the comeback. God damn, what's his name? It just escaped me.
Schnell.
I have a hard time not giving that the fight of the night to Matt Schnell and Sue Madaji just because of the swing, like the drastic swing in the fight. Like, I guess in the Burgos fight, he did have his back and he was close to the choke a couple times, but I would probably give it to Matt Schnell and Sue Madaji.
Yeah. I agree. It was just Harrington at the start before you joined us mentioned that Shane Burgos never got fired tonight. I was like, he didn't? That's crazy. And then he said, no, but they gave it to Matt Schnell, Sue Madaji. I was like, oh, shit, no. That makes sense because that fight was wild. However, Shane Burgos, Charles Jourdain, unbelievable fight. Right, real quick, let's talk about our newest sponsor, Zippix Toothpicks. Zippix Toothpicks are nicotine-infused toothpicks to help you kick that nasty smoking and vaping habits for once and for all. Zippix has supported over 100,000 people trying to kick their bad habit with their sublingual absorption. This process gets you your nicotine buzz quicker, safer, and cheaper than cigarettes and vaping, and nothing goes into your lungs. It takes 2 weeks for your lungs to begin to recover after you quit smoking. So go and get your Zippix today. Zippix comes in 6 awesome flavors: cinnamon, peppermint, watermelon, whiskey, sweetwood, spice island clove. And it also comes in a B12 and caffeine blend that really juices the creative process. Plus, you can use Zippix anywhere where you are not allowed to vape or smoke. Sitting on a plane, gasping for a cigarette, get your Zippix out. No smell, no smoke, no hiding cigarette butts. Costs less than cigarettes, dip, and vape. So right now, kick that habit. Go to ZippixToothpicks.com. ZippiX Toothpicks.com. Use the promo code Believe10 to get 10% off your order. ZippixToothpicks.com. The code is Believe10, 10% off. Good morning of fights. Anything else? Obviously, Lauren Murphy beat Misha Tate.
That was kind of a shocker too. And I don't know if it was a shocker per se as far as their skill sets matched up with each other's. I think it was just all you heard in the media was kind of, I think a lot of people kind of looked past Lauren Murphy because Misha Tate's such a big name and she's so popular. I missed that fight because I was training. That was one of the ones I missed. And I just kind of, like, as I'm scrolling through it, I just kind of scrolled right by the fight and just assumed Misha won. I don't know why I do that. Every once in a while, you'll see a matchup and you're like, oh, I think Misha's going to win. I never actually broke it down, never really watched any tape on either one of them and paid too much attention. I just assumed Misha was going to win and just kept on scrolling. And then my coach was like, did you see Misha got beat? I was like, no fucking way. Yeah. Like, okay. Which is unfair to Lauren. That's the only reason I'm bringing it up. Like, I kind of wrote her off
unintentionally. I don't want to sit here and, like, you know, disparage me, should say. She's done great things in the sport and she was a pioneer. But, you know, I think I thought Lauren Murphy might take it, you know, because Misha's very tough. She's very durable and she's got a big heart, good wrestling. But on the feet, she can be, I thought she was outmatched on the feet. And that's essentially what we saw. Yeah. Lauren did a good job defending the takedowns. Obviously, co-main event, Lemosh chokes out Michelle Waterson. Michelle Watson's absolutely fantastic. How can you not like that girl? But unlucky there. Li Jingliang, massive win there. And that's about it. That's all random because we got news. We got views. We got, what else we got? Harrington, what do we have?
What do we have?
We got news, views.
Amuse Bouche.
And we got what? Booze. No, just give us a bloody story, Harrington, for crying out loud. Leave the bad rhyming to us.
Okay. Well, in that case, we got, I have not one, not two, but three people who you might not expect who want to challenge for the 205-pound title.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, yeah, it's four. I'm here, too.
that's the one I expect.
No. Anthony, you're invisible.
Just fuck us, you know.
Well, who are the people, Harrington?
Fuck the guys that are actually in the division.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let's hear him out, Anthony Smith. I want to hear who these viable contenders are. They've been working away, Anthony. They've been slogging. They haven't been on beaches in Aruba. They've been in the gym. They've been pounding that bag. Go on. What have we got?
That is rude. So Jan Blachowicz says that he would be interested in a rematch with Izzy at Israel Adesanya's natural weight, right? He took the fight against Israel Adesanya for the 205-pound title. He says he can make 185, go down there and challenge Israel Adesanya. He's interested in that fight, right?
Hold on. So that's what do you think of that, Anthony? What do you think? I think that's a stretch.
I don't think he can make the weight. He is a big goddamn guy. Mm. If he could make it, the only thing, I mean, obviously with the Pereira thing going on, but like if he could make it, I think he has a claim to a title shot because he's already got a win over him. But I just don't think he can make the weight.
He said he used to fight at 90 kilos, which is about 200 pounds when he was Thai boxing. But that was a long time ago. When you're younger, you can be lighter. Yeah. So, hey, listen, if you can make the weight, I think he would match it well because he'd be faster. He'd lose a bit of power. Mm-hmm. He'd lose a little bit of that weight to struggle to hold Izzy down. But, hey, listen, if you can do it, then why the fuck not?
Why not?
Harrington, yeah. Go on then. Continue with the rest of your diatribe.
Number two, the 170-pound champion, Kamaru Usman, says that after his win against Leon Edwards, he is going to jump over 185. No interest in fighting Israel Adesanya for the middleweight title. Wants to go straight to 205 and challenge whoever is the title holder in that.
Anthony Smith, the floor is yours.
Why? Why? Because he wants to be a double champ and he won't fight Israel Adesanya. They won't fight each other, which is weird to me a little bit. Like, I know that there's some national pride. I think that's some of it. It's just it's a Nigeria thing. But it's not like they train together. Like, I don't get the vibe that they're really good friends and they hang out. You know, it's like back in the day when Brazilians used to not want to fight each other. I think we're kind of past some of that.
Americans fight each other all the time.
All the time. So I don't see the issue there. I think 170 is a
can I can I jump in there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to
figure out how to say something without, like, I don't want to trash him because I like Usman a lot, but like he's a big jump, dude.
Usman's a great guy. He's impossible not to like because when you talk with him, he's a great man. He's a perfect gentleman. Obviously in the cage. He's fantastic. So yeah, no, of course, there's no insults here, but it's just an opinion on that. And I'm of the same train of thought as you. You know, listen, Izzy's great and Kamaru's great. And they both represent Nigeria. And that's a huge thing because obviously, you know, the more eyeballs on the sport and more inspiration for the people of Nigeria, you know, to know that they can turn their lives around and all the rest of it, you know, because I don't know too much about Nigeria, but, you know, I know life's hard there for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So that's great. But I just think if they fought one another, it would be an even bigger spectacle. And they could even do that in Nigeria. If I'm not mistaken, it has the largest economy out of all the African countries. You know, so there's definitely got a stadium, I'm sure. That, how big would that be? And what a spotlight for Nigerian MMA. And, you know, they find out who's the best. They both make a shit ton of money. And there's no hard feelings in it. It's literally sport, you know?
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah, just Usman is a big welterweight. He is a small middleweight. It would be a really small 205er. So I don't know. That part of it seems, and it could be him just saying he wants, you know, maybe it's a headlines thing, it's a media thing or whatever. But yeah, no, I think Izzy and Usman is the better, that's the better fight.
From your perspective, Anthony, obviously you're pushing hard. You know, you want to get through Ankalaev and you want to get a title fight. You know, how frustrating is it for you right now that there is, obviously there's a new champ with Jiří, there's rumors of rematches with Glover, there's Jan, there's Kamaru Usman now, you know, talking fucking about title DC. Fights. Oh, yeah, that's right. DC, DC saying he'd come back for one more at light heavyweight. I mean,
oh, we can't wait to see DC next week. So, listen, DC, you worry about you. You just be retired and be fancy and do your thing at the commentary. Hey, you just leave us alone. Hey, you made your money.
Hey, he did make his money and he had quite the career. But let's just be honest. DC,
he's not making 205.
He ain't making 205 anytime ever again. In fact, I'm doing a YouTube video on this.
I agree with you,
DC's fucking great. Every time he works for the UFC, I heard that they have to – he's got to go up in suit sizes every time. He's like, needs a bigger one. Needs a bigger one. Needs a bigger one. Hello, Rebecca.
Oh, I love DC, but he's not. I'll be retired by the time DC makes 205 again.
He ain't making 205 anytime soon. But shout out DC. Just such a great guy, isn't he? Love being around that guy.
I love being around him.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, you know, I feel it's good for the division for sure, because it's getting a lot of attention right now, which is always a good thing. I think Jiří Prochazka is making business decisions. You know what I mean? I think he's a smart guy. I mean this with the absolute most respect to everyone involved in the next phrase I'm about to say.
Oh, this is good. I mean this with the absolute most respect.
I mean,
don't go fuck yourself.
But they all need to look when they hear me say things like this, they need to remember that this is coming from a person who's in the same division as you, within a couple spots of you in the ranking. So don't be shocked that I fucking believe this. But if I'm Jiří Prochazka and I'm staring down the pipe at my next opponent and it's Glover Teixeira or the winner of Anthony Smith and Magomed Ankalaev, and you're making business decisions, who are you choosing? It's going to be Glover Teixeira every time. It's going to be like, he looked old for the first time.
Why do you
say?
You mean from a perspective of winning the fight and solidifying champ, or pay per view points in terms of business?
Both. I think if you're making business decisions, you have to look at the risk to reward in taking tough matchups and how hard that fight is going to be. You can already play off of. There's going to be highlights for days in the promo of the previous fight to sell the next one. In my opinion, it's fight of the year right now. Probably the most exciting title fight in 205 history, in my opinion. So you can sell it off of that. And it's the monster you know is the monster you know. He already knows what he's getting himself into. It's a totally new opponent. It's a new problem when you look at Ankalaev and myself. And I think Ankalaev and myself deal with the problems that Jiří knew that Glover wasn't gonna stand with him. The whole basis of that game plan was to take him down, and so that's an easier problem to deal with. You know what Glover's bringing. He has to take you down. He can't strike with you. He can't say that for Ankalaev and myself. We're both better than he is on the ground. We're both better wrestlers, and we both can stay in a trade with him. So, I think that if you're making business decisions, you're gonna try to get that Glover fight. I also think if the UFC was gonna book that fight, if that was the plan, I think that they would have already done it. I think that they're waiting on the Ankalaev and myself fight to happen and go from there.
See kind of plays out.
If we stink it up, then maybe they give it to Glover, you know, but if it goes the way that I think it's going to go, I don't think they're going to have a choice. They're going to have to give it to me.
Mm, Interesting. I can't say I disagree with you, to be honest, you know, when it comes to business, because it was a crazy fight. Mm-hmm. Glover is on, you know, let's be honest, if he fights again, if he loses, let's say he got that fight. If he lost, that would be his last fight. If he won, then he'd probably go on again. But yeah, interesting. I just had a thought there. For next week when you're fighting, I'm going to do a fucking like a watch along. You know what I mean? Because where is the fight happening from?
Dallas,
Texas. I won't be there. So
you should just come.
I would love to come, but I'm on a fucking plane constantly. I'm hardly going.
Well, bring the wife. I mean, you know people and get you tickets.
Do you know what? That's not a bad idea. But I'm not going to do it. Do you know what I mean?
It's a great idea, but I'm not going to do it.
It's awesome. It's great. But if I never see a plane again for as long as I live, you have no idea what's coming up for me, my schedule. It's bloody awful. Today, we are welcoming back IPVanish VPN to the show. You know the deal. IPVanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. So it's so great to have them back. And let me tell you about IPVanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, and you really should, the easiest way to protect yourself is with IPVanish VPN. Rated 4 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, or even hackers from intercepting your data. You know, we're talking all your financial details, personal information, online activity is completely safe from threats with IPVanish, okay? You're not going to get hacked. You're not going to have people logging into your bank account, people hacking your Instagram, your social media and all that stuff and changing your passwords and blackmailing you. Believe me, that stuff goes on, okay? IPVanish eradicates all of that. And also, if you're in other countries, you can maybe access certain pornographic websites. What do I know? But still, get started. If you're in Abu Dhabi, trust me, it's going to come in handy. Get started with this limited time offer and save 50% off your monthly and annual subscriptions by going to IPVanish.com/believe. 50% off, ladies and gentlemen. One more time, that is IPVanish.com/believe. And that's all lowercase, by the way. Okay. Harrington, Mike Harrington, the M Harrington on Twitter. Show yourself, throw a story at us, make it a good one, be entertaining, and slow down on the beard of the growth of the beard.
That's just you hating at this point. Just FYI, Anthony, if you got tickets, Brian and I would probably take a trip to Dallas.
He doesn't have tickets for you. Okay.
All right. Had to take a shot.
Mike can probably get you tickets, though.
Yeah.
I can't. I struggle to get tickets. I would, Anthony. I that's why I asked, and they said it's sold out. Oh, you're a big deal. A big deal, and it's all sold out.
Yeah, we sold her out.
Oh, God.
All right, check this out. BMW is testing out a subscription fee to their cars in Korea. So the latest one, right, is going to be heated seats, which you can get at $18 a month. Now, there are discounts for yearly subscription, 3-year subscription. You can also buy the option outright to have in your car forever. But they also have a list here, high beam assistant, BMW driving assistance plus, heated steering wheel, and an artificial noise generator that'll make your electric car sound like it's some sci-fi nonsense out of Star Wars. So what do you guys think about this? Subscription models, right, like you would have with Netflix or Hulu, now coming to your car.
Yeah, but hold on a minute.
You got to pay for heated seats?
Heated seats
monthly?
Are a very basic element.
My Dodge Ram's got heated seats.
That's what I'm saying. That's not like, whoa. These Koreans are fucking doing crazy shit with those cars, bro. They've got fucking heated seats. It's like, yeah, welcome to 2005.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I got a point here.
$18. Go ahead, Harrington.
If you only use the heated seats for, you know, the cold months of the year, why are you paying for those in the summer? You know, why are you paying for that option to begin with when you buy a new car, when you could just pay for the 3 or 4 months a year that you might actually need it?
Yeah, but that is also another flaw. But
but it comes just standard. You don't like pay extra for it.
Yeah, no, it's stupid. Most cars already have it, so that it's like, do you know what this sounds like? I mean, obviously it's a way to make more money. It's like when you go on a low budget airline. You know what I mean? When you go on a low budget airline, the flight's cheap, but when you get there, if you want to check a bag,
it's $100.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. And you know, if you want a drink, if you want this, everything's an extra. You know, it's like, do you want to check a bag? Well, yeah, I'm going on a long plane flight. I'm going to need some things when I get there. Yes, I want to check a bag. Well, that's $100 both ways. You know what I mean? It's like, just put that. Yeah.
Oh, you want a carry-on? That's another $50.
It's insane.
Oh, you want a water? That's $4.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
What the fuck?
Heated seats. Who uses those as well? I never use it. My wife here in Southern California. Do you?
Yeah, all winter.
I got a sweaty ass.
I got a heated steering wheel too.
Oh no, Anthony.
I mean, it gets really cold here. My wife, if we're driving somewhere like a long distance in the middle of summer, but the AC is too high, she'll put her heated seat on in the middle of the summer.
No, I hate that. I hate the heated seats. I hate the heated steering wheel. I get all sweaty, clammy hands. Don't like it.
10 below zero, it's probably not that. Wouldn't be terrible.
True. No, that's a good point. You know, talking about the other features, you know, like what did Harrington say on the cars, on the BMWs?
High beam assist.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous. But like the Teslas, Rebecca's got a Tesla. And, you know, that comes with some things. But most of it doesn't work. If you want to get the self-driving feature, where it actually drives itself, that's an extra $10,000 when you buy the car. I was like, yeah, no, we're good.
You didn't get it?
No way. No way. Come on.
Really? I would have expected you would have gotten that.
I'm not a fancy pants. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, listen, she said I would never trust it anyway. People do die. And I'm like, no way. Yeah. I'm not giving you 10 grand. I'm buying you a nice car. Okay. Sorry, but you're going to have to drive it yourself. I mean, what are we talking? I mean, how spoiled are these people? Okay. I want a car, but I don't want to have to drive it myself. I'm like, right, this is done. We're over.
Well, that's the beauty of this new subscription model, right? You don't pay the 10 grand up front. You try it for 1 month for, like, let's say $100. And then if it's something you decide you can't live without, then you can decide to maybe invest.
No, you're not putting fucking heated seats in my car. And then it's just there, but I'm not allowed to use it.
Yeah.
No fucking way.
And that's how they get you, these subscription models. That's why you need Truebill to go in and cancel them all or whatever the fucking happens.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Smart. Look at that.
Bastards, an extra $18 a month. Anyway, we're waffling absolute bloody goddamn nonsense. Dustin Poirier says that he thinks Conor McGregor should fight Justin Gaethje upon his return.
Totally agree. Well, thoughts on Dustin Poirier fighting Beneil Dariush, allegedly. That's what I heard today. Yeah.
Breaking news. Are you officially breaking news?
I don't think so. I think I seen it on Twitter. So
are you breaking the circle of trust?
No, I think I seen it on Twitter.
Breaking news, Anthony Smith breaks the circle of trust. Dustin Poirier versus Beneil Dariush confirmed. UFC Louisiana, UFC 282 main event. The Diamond versus Beneil.
Beneil. Anyways, Connor and fucking Gaethje's, it's a pretty good fight.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I
I'd be okay with that. Anyone gives a fuck what I think, but.
Yeah, no one cares what I think either. Yeah. I still think that Conor comes back and was saying that if Oliveira, and this sounds weird and it sounds a bit conspiracy theory-ist, but if Oliveira was the champ and I was managing Conor, I'd put him in there against Oliveira straight away. And I know what everyone's going to say, and I know people talk shit and they say he hasn't earned it and all the rest of it. The man was a big star. The man was a double champ, and the man gets the bigger numbers than anyone else. Like it or lump it, suck it up. If he wants to do that, he will get the ability to do that. He will get the option. Oliveira, if I was managing him, I'd say, yeah, sure. Islam Makhachev, I'd be like, No way. Sidestep that motherfucker all day long because Oliveira gets hit and you know what Islam's going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's going to do exactly what Khabib did to Conor and he'll do it effectively with little to zero resistance, in my opinion.
Probably.
Oh, Conor's going to be mad about that.
Oh, he'll get over it.
He will. He will. Survive. Remember, did you ever see when he called me a big dumb zombie on Twitter?
Did he really?
It was so funny.
Did you cry yourself to sleep?
No, I thought it was hilarious because he's not wrong. Sometimes I am a big dumb zombie.
We all have moments of big dumb zombie-ishness.
We do.
Justin Gaethje, Charles Oliver, Conor McGregor. Yeah, I mean, what a fight that would be.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah. Why not Dustin Poirier, though? Oh, probably because, as you say, he's fighting Beneil Dariush.
Old Benny.
Oh, Benny.
Oh, Benny D.
Lightweight titles looking good. What else have we got here? Volkanovski's already called out the winner. Correct. DC says he's going to 205. Yuri Prohaska rematch with Glover. What else we got? Harrington, Sean Strickland shows a video of him picking a new car. That was pretty funny. Did you see that, Anthony?
Oh, my God. I just hurt my jaw.
What did you do?
No, I didn't.
I broke your jaw by yawning.
And it like popped my jaw.
Don't let Magomed see this. Oh, this guy, he yawn, he break jaw. Easy fight for
it's for my vacation.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I read it, but I didn't see it. What? So he went to get a new car.
It was pretty light. It was pretty self-deprecating of him. He said he was here. We go. Watch.
I had my boy Diego, right? And I was like, after this fight, I'm gonna buy me a fucking Hellcat, 700 horsepower, all the bling. But then I got knocked the fuck out. So now I'm what is this? I had an accident. Fucking thing. So man, this is my life so bad. Is it? I on the fucking accent.
It's pretty funny to be
poor
fair.
Poor guy. Poor
but,
guy.
But see, this is the thing that a lot of people don't realize. That is what it's like. Because when you go, and I don't mean that specifically, but you have hopes and dreams. As fighters, it's built within us that we think we're going to win the fight. You know what I mean? So I don't know how your contract's set up. Mine was when I started. A lot of people's are, you know, you get a show money and then you get your win money. But as fighters, we're convinced we're going to win. That's why we're stepping in there. So you already, you're counting the money in your head and then you think, if I win this one, fuck, if Sean Strickland had won that one, there was a potential for a title fight, then that's going to be a big earner. Then I'm going to be the champ. I'm going to have millions of fucking dollars. Oh, I'm going to win this. I'm going to get myself a sick car. No, you get knocked out, left hook. That's it. All hopes and dreams out the fucking window. Not sniffing a title fight anytime soon. And you go to the car dealership, you're like, what have you got under 15 grand? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that sucks. And that's, you're right, man. That's exactly how it is. It's planned. It's already spent in your head. Like where you're, you know, like I'm going to put this much away. I got this much. I got to pay in taxes. But if I win, when I win, I'm going to go, I'm going to splurge and get myself this or whatever. I do it every time. There's always something in my head that I want. And it's kind of just my thing that I always do like throughout training camp. It's like, I don't know, the last fight, I think I wanted a new golf cart. And so that was like my thing. Like I'm going to go out there and win. And I'm going to buy myself a golf cart.
Golf cart. So like, you have the best toys.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, bro, come on. You've got 17 camels. God knows how many cows. You got razors, raptors.
We got two more cows, and one of them died.
Oh, God. Like poor Daisy. Camels.
They went out to bottle feed it, and it was dead.
Oh, you know, last night, this is nothing to you, but it was a big deal in my house. I was barbecuing. It's my dad's last night here. As I said, we'll go off to the airport shortly. I turn on the grill. There was a fucking rat underneath the fucking grill, but a big fucker. So I turned it off straight away because I felt sorry for it. And then it's run off. And I knew, like, in the structure of the outdoor barbecue area, it was in there. So I'm like fucking firing the holes everywhere and all the rest of it. And then little Harry comes over because he's half terrier. He's fucking sniffing. He's going for it. Anyway, because I'm not a killer, even though I used to work at a slaughterhouse and I wanted to get that thing out. You know,
I wouldn't have killed. I would have let it out.
Yeah, I was trying to get it. Well, it's fucking dead, I'll tell you that. Because
the dog get a hold of it?
No, it didn't. I don't know what happened, but I can show you a little bit of the video here because we filmed it. Let's just get the end bit for old little ratty. It was stuck in the corner. Corner. I had to use the barbecue thingy bobs, the tongs to get it out. Hold on, where is he? There he is. Hold on.
Oh, that poor little guy.
Poor thing. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Over the fucking yard. Yeah, yeah. That was a big thing for us. I was terrified. Why am I talking about this? I don't know. You know what we should talk about?
What should we talk about?
Oh, yeah, the cow dying. Why did the cow die?
I don't know.
Colic?
I don't know. They just went out to bottle feed them in the morning, and one of them was dead. One of the new ones.
And so, obviously, are you going to send that off for slaughter?
No.
Was it a dairy cow?
It was a very, very small calf. Like,
you can't
70
get some good cuts of veal out of that?
I'm going to say some veal.
No.
No?
No, it's wrong.
Well, look at you. You've got a heart after all.
I'm sorry, Anthony. Veal is delicious.
Yeah, I know, but it just, I'll go buy it somewhere else. I don't want to take mine. Yeah.
No, no, no. Get rid of it. It'll start to smell soon anyway. Mm-hmm. So you have a fight next week, Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to pressure you for a show on Thursday, obviously, because it's getting close. Are you available next week? And there's no pressure because I totally get
it. Yeah, Monday for sure.
Yeah, Monday. Yeah, all right, Monday amazing. For sure. Amazing. So because of that, though, what we'll do is it's UFC London this weekend. It's a tremendous fight card. Let's go through that. Main event, Curtis Blaydes. We'll just wrap up with this quickly. Curtis Blaydes, Tom Aspinall, initial thoughts on that, and give us a prediction. I can't predict. I'll go through the fights. You tell me a quick prediction. Bish, bash, bosh. Off we bosh.
You know, I'm a big believer in Tom Aspinall. I really am. I think that he's got the power to kind of to be able to. That's the thing with Curtis Blaydes. That dude's fucking pure horsepower. He's just running through people. So, honestly, like Curtis a lot. I am leaning Tom Aspinall. To be fair.
Okay, there it is. Tom Aspinall doing unbelievable things in the UFC. He has got a tough fight though. Curtis Blaydes, very big. Big, strong wrestler. And it will be the first time Tom's been tested like that. Co-main event, Jack Hermanson was supposed to be Darren Till. Sadly, he had to pull out. Versus Chris Curtis, the Action Man, late replacement, just beat Rodolfo Vieira. 3 wins in the UFC so far. 2 stunning knockouts going up against Jack Hermanson. Last time we saw him, a tough night at the office against Sean Strickland. How do you see this one?
I'm probably going to pick the underdog. I think Chris Curtis. I think Jack Hermanson's has a tough time when he gets stuck on his feet with people. And Chris Curtis has got a fantastic takedown defense.
All right. There you go. Paddy the Baddy Pimbler. I guarantee you this. He will rock the place. He's very, very charismatic. Mm-hmm. People love the guy. He knows how to make an entrance. Going up against Jordan Levitt, a guy who is very flamboyant in his own way. You know, he's a very good grappler. But he's
don't twerk in London.
He's going to twerk if he wins. Yeah. How do you see this one?
Man, who do you think has the grappling advantage there? I know you can't make a prediction.
Yeah, to be honest, I know Jordan Levitt's good on the ground, and I'll say this with respect. Like, he's kind of not a one-trick pony, not one-dimensional, but he's grappling.
Very grappling heavy.
Very that is way better than his striking. Paddy, I think, has an advantage there, but Paddy is more known for his grappling in the UK on Cage Warriors. He's got a very, very good grappling game. That's why last time out, when Kazula Vargas, Paddy's opponent, straight away went for the takedown, and I was like, you're making a mistake here, pal, because Kazula Vargas isn't no grappling phenom, and Paddy's good on the ground, you know. So,
I think the better grappler wins that fight. So, I was going to lean and say I thought maybe Paddy, because initially I thought Jordan Levitt did, and then I kind of went back and just because after I think we talked about that part of it one time. So I went back and kind of watched them both because I was just sitting around, and I think you're right. So I think Paddy just because I think he's a better grappler.
Yeah, and that would be sensational for the crowd. Okay, your division, former opponent, Alexander Gustafsson. He's back taking on Nikita Krylov. Tough fight for both men. Obviously, Gustafsson struggled a little bit recently. Went up to heavyweight, lost to Verdum, had some retirement time. Now he's come back and he's fighting Nikita Krylov. Last time we saw him get submitted against Paul Craig. what do you think?
I like Gus. I think Gus gets it done. It's just stylistically, Gus is the better striker. He's hard. He's fucking hard to get to. He's hard to hit. Krylov is no grappling phenom by any sense of the imagination. So it's going to be mostly a striking affair. And I just think Gus is better. He's longer. Goddamn, his movement. His movement is fucking. It's one thing to see it on tape, but then to see it in front of you, it's hard to deal with.
I'll never forget when he took out Glover Teixeira. That performance. Oh my God. I mean, his hands were like lightning. It was so fast, so precise, beautiful boxing. If that Gustafsson shows up, you know, regardless of who it is, they've got a problem on the hands. Molly McCann, Hannah Gold did last time. Molly got a beautiful spinning elbow knockout, set the crowd on fire. Hannah Gold coming into this one. I think she's 2-1 in the UFC so far.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, 1-2. 1-1, lost 2, if I'm not mistaken. Last time I got an armbar victory over Emily Whitmire. A bit of a step up in competition for her. Any thoughts on this one?
Fucking Molly's hard to beat, and she's even harder to beat in the UK. That's just, I don't know. I I haven't really watched Hannah a whole lot. You know, she's a kind of a physical specimen, though. You just can see her and see that she's an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, she's real strong. But I haven't broken down a bunch of her tape, but I am leaning Molly largely. I'd pick Molly over a lot of people in the UK.
Molly's a dog, I'm telling you. Yeah. And when I say that, I don't mean anything about her appearance in the UK. Yeah. That's a slang term for an ugly person. No, I mean she's got that fight in her. She really has, you know, and that's what I really like about watching her fight. She's a great boxer. She's a natural athlete. She, you know, she was very good at football, soccer. When she was younger, she did a lot of boxing. Now, and the way she fights, she is fearless, you know.
Yeah, and she's mean.
She's mean.
Real mean in there.
She's real nasty. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. You know the deal by now. If you're looking for car parts, then you want all the car parts that you need in one place, but more importantly, at the most competitive price you can find. And that's what Rock Auto offers. And that is why they've been in business for over 20 years. You go to rockauto.com, you will see that they literally have every kind of car part that you can ever imagine. You know, I mean, I don't know much about cars, but if I was to name a few, I would say windscreen wiper. They got them. Exhaust pipes. Boom. Carburetor. I don't know. Batteries. Shit. I'm showing my ignorance. But whatever you know and whatever you need, they have them there at rockauto.com. There's no code because everything is already so incredibly cheap. But do me a favor. When you go to rockauto.com, make sure to mention that you heard about them on the Believe You Me podcast. So, you know they're getting bang for the buck with us. And yeah, have fun. As I say, whether you're a car guy or a car girl, whatever you need, you will find at rockauto.com. Check it out. Okay, Paul Craig versus Volkan Oezdemir, another one in your division. You know these guys. Give us a quick
breakdown. Yeah, I fought Volkan.
Well, come on then. Give us the insights.
Volkan hasn't been the same since he left the States, though. He had some visa issues, and he just hasn't looked the same since then. He struggled a little bit, and Paul Craig has looked pretty good, actually. So, if they get into any grappling exchanges, Paul Craig obviously wins that fight, in my opinion, because Volkan is hard to take down, though. You know, it was deep in the fourth and we were both exhausted and I just kind of caught him slipping. So, but striking wise, Volkan is a lot tougher. Like, he's another one of those guys you see him on tape and you think, oh, it's just this big Neanderthal that throws hard and whatever. But he's very tricky. Like, he's got a lot of subtleties that he does in there. It's just the way he moves his head, and he sets a lot of traps. He's got really heavy hands. But just the way that he's kind of looked lately, I would probably lean Paul Craig to swarm him, get into some sort of clinch, grappling exchange, pull guard if he has to. Any way Paul Craig can get Volkan to the ground, he needs to do it, and he needs to do it quickly.
Can't disagree with anything that you said. It was just at the end there, and it's not a disagreement. You're right. I mean, Paul Craig, it's always to get him down on the ground, and he's deadly down there, and he's very crafty, and he snatches victory from the jaws of defeat over and over again. He really does, and he's so good at doing that. If I'm Volkan Oezdemir, if I end up in the top position, I am backing out of there all day long. The game plan is always, anytime in camp, do not engage in any kind of grappling, because on the feet, Volkan, you're right, he's tricky. And Paul's getting better on the feet all the time. I mean, against Shogun, he looks really, really good. So I think he gets underestimated in that department because he knows his skill sets.
Well, it's his unwillingness to strike, because he just wants to go to the ground, but he
engages in that so much. Yeah, yeah. Who do you think wins?
Man, I would lean Paul Craig. I would. I think he's got the momentum. You know what I mean? Momentum means something. He believes in himself, which, you know, when was he drinking? Yes, he just tested positive for COVID at the time.
Yeah.
He's funny.
He's a great guy.
So funny. I had a lot of fun. He just believes in himself, and he believes in his jiu-jitsu, and he'll do enough to stay conscious. You know what I mean? Like, he'll end up in some bad spots sometimes fishing for submissions, but, I don't know. I'm leaning Paul Craig.
And if he does pull it off, that'll be seven in a row. Yeah,
Jesus, good for him.
Yeah, unbelievable, eh? But there it is. There's the main card for UFC London. I'll be there, very excited. Last time the crowd were fucking sensational. So if you're there, give me a shout, give me a wave. I'll try and say hi. All right, I do have a million things to do, so we're going to do some questions. You know the deal by now, bympod@gmail.com. And Brian, by the way, I think somebody said yesterday, I did a live on YouTube, they said they sent in some T-shirt designs. I've got a T-shirt design, Anthony. It's me.
Oh, yeah?
You. It's the Count and the Lionheart. I'm knighting you. You're on one knee. I'm knighting you and bringing you into the BYM. You know, if you're cool with that, awesome. I think that was my idea. Yeah, yeah, we're going to get those out soon.
I did. I got a bunch of graphic design stuff in the emails. I'll send it
forward them to me, please, and whatever your name was. Thank you very much, but I do forget your name. Harrington, do you have a message for the believers?
I do. If the believers are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you leave a 5-star review, positive rating. 5-star rating, positive review. We really appreciate that. Helps out the algorithm. Speaking of helping out the algorithm, if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and click the notification bell. Make sure you find out whenever we have a new video dropping. And if you want to catch now over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get a 7-day free trial before membership goes up.
And there it is. And we're both texting, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and almost... if you're watching on YouTube,
yeah,
if you're
there in the premiere, buy me some more time to finish this text.
If you're on YouTube watching right now, hit that little like button, right? You're in here, you're watching the live premiere, just hit it. There's thousands of you in there. There should be thousands of likes by the end of this video. Really appreciate you guys.
And we should have way more subscribers, okay? Okay? What's going on? What's going on, guys? If you're watching this, do me a favor. Subscribe. What are you doing? What are you even doing with your life? Anyway, Brian, do we have any questions, please?
We do have some questions, and the first one we have here today is from a lady.
Okay.
Danny?
I thought it was Diane.
Hey.
Mr. Bisping, Mr. Harrington, Mr. McKay, you wanted female questions? Here we go. This is a female motherfucking question. Females on this podcast, I will lower myself to a Snapchat filter as a woman. I was going to say bitch, but you're not allowed to do that no more.
Whoa.
As a woman. So my question to you, as a woman, is I was watching a recent episode of Chael Sonnen on one of his podcasts, and he said the perfect fight for McGregor is Dan Hooker. The next comeback fight must be Dan Hooker. To me, stylistically, that makes a lot of sense. You need to win. That win, I think, stylistically could happen. Styles make fights. I think it's a fight Conor could definitely win. Yeah, let me know what you think. Dan Hooker versus McGregor. Is that the fight to make when he comes back?
Well.
The hair, though. Peace, lads.
I tell you what it fucking is, mate. Yeah, right. You come on here dressed as a fucking woman, mocking the fucking transgender movement. We're not fucking happy, right? Now, to your question, right? Fucking McGregor versus, who was it? Dan Hooker? I don't know, mate. There was talk of that. There was whispers. There was rumors. But I believe now that Dan Hooker recently got matched up, didn't he?
I don't know. Possibly. I haven't seen it.
Come in with your big brain and your Google. Come in with your big brain and your Google. But he did. Yeah. Yeah. Dan Hooker recently got matched up, I think, back at 155. But to answer your question, my friend, that would have been a fantastic matchup for Conor to come back, fight somebody that wants to fight his kind of style, you know, somebody that wouldn't want to wrestle him down. Dan Hooker's not going to do that. Dan Hooker's going to stand toe to toe. And I think as fans, we'd all enjoy a fantastic fight.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we talked about that a long time ago when we're just potential opponents for Conor. I think that was one of the ones where that's a good matchup for him stylistically. It's a winnable fight.
And again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful here. I'm really not. You know, the reality is Conor's lost 3 out of the last 4 against top of the food chain guys.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Hooker also is lower in the rankings now. It makes sense as well. That would have been a perfect matchup. One, no disrespect to Dan. I would have favored Conor in that in a big, big way. But you can never count out Dan Hooker.
Right.
Well, Brian, what else we got, mate? We got any more questions, yeah?
Yeah, we got a question here from Mr. Langtree.
Hello, hello to the guys with the best MMA podcast on the internet.
Let's go.
Question for Michael and Anthony. Guys, have you ever been oil checked during a UFC fight? Just share with us some funny stories about oil check that you guys have been through. And Harrington, without a beard, you look okay. Okay.
That's great. That's great.
Okay. 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 Okay.
That was quite the head of hair on that man as well.
That was. That was.
Come on. Egon Spangler. Do you know who that is?
No.
Ghostbusters, bro.
Oh, okay.
You don't watch any movies, do you?
I don't.
I don't watch a lot of movies, but it seems I feel like a real connoisseur of cinema around me? You. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, guys. Oh, yeah.
I've seen that.
It's really not well known. It's kind of a, you know, cinematic. It doesn't really look like him, actually. But still, fast on the trigger with the Google there, Brian. What was his question?
About getting oil checked in a fight.
Well, I've never have, or in training room. Have you? And explain what oil checking is for those that might not know.
Okay, so I could explain it in a technical sense, or I could just tell you what it is. So someone sticks their finger in your ass. But
calm down, Harrington.
Wrestlers, I know, easy, Harrington. Wrestlers will call it a butt drag. When someone shoots in, you defend the takedown, so you're in the front headlock position. You reach around, and the idea is to grab like kind of the butt cheek or like near the tailbone area and drag them by so you can come around and you know, get behind them and take their back or whatever. Sometimes you miss the tailbone area or the butt cheek and you get a finger in the butt. And if it's in there, you got a hell of a hold on the butt and you get a nice drag and you just say, fuck it. So it's happened to me a couple of times wrestling and, you know, jujitsu, like training. You're like, motherfucker, what the fuck? But never in a fight. Yeah. Never in a fight.
Yeah. No. I can't say it's ever happened to me. I'm trying to think. I mean, obviously.
I've done it to someone on accident. I'm sure.
I mean, who hasn't stuck a thumb in a guy's butt? Come on.
Yeah, come on, weirdos.
Who are we kidding here? Who are we lying to? We're fingering each other's assholes all
every
the time.
Day, every day.
Every day.
Somebody needs to invent a butt cup so that can happen.
I think they have them. What do they call those butt plugs? There you go. That would do. Do we have one more, Brian? Maybe something that, you know.
Yes, sir. It's slightly more MMA related here. It's from Mr. Hassan.
Well, that's disappointing.
What up, guys? It's Hassan here again, and I have two questions for you. My first question is, if Dana White will handle over the organization to you, the UFC, will you make any difference in the organization? Like maybe putting up opening scoring or change some rule, or will you run the company as it is? And my second question is, if you became the president of the United States, what difference will you make as the president of the United States? And I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And thank you for the podcast and everything that you do. Blessed.
Well, thank you, brother. We appreciate that. But before anyone says that, I just want to say, I mean, they're very explosive questions. You know what I mean? Because if I mean, number one, if somebody offered me to be the president of the UFC, yes, I'd take the job. And would I make some changes?
I'd make some changes. I'd cut the paychecks of every single fucking fighter.
But like, if I sit here and go through them, next time I see Dana, I'm like, oh yeah, motherfucker, you do this, you do that, you'd make it better. Fuck you, dickhead. You're looking for another job. No, I don't know. What would I do? And I'm sure there's an argument to it. We've had this. I'm an advocate for more weight classes. That seems like an obvious one.
Yeah, it'd be an early one.
Yeah. But other than that,
I'm not putting myself out there to get in trouble.
Yeah, same. No, Dana doesn't give a fuck. Yeah. But president of the United States, I mean, again, I don't want to divide this audience, you know, but I'll tell you this. If you get and you're a little girl and you're pregnant, I think you should be able to get an abortion. There's rule number one. Okay.
Jesus Christ, Mike. Wow.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I know. What would you change, Anthony? As an American, I'll stay out of that one. Being a redcoat who's still very sour about the occasion of 1776.
What would I change as president? I don't know. It'd probably be something with healthcare.
Again, don't get me started.
Yeah, it'd probably be something with healthcare. I don't know what that answer is, but I'd try to find a better solution for sure.
Yeah, no, that's one that blows my mind.
Because even me, like, again, not that I'm trying to divide anybody here, but my fucking health insurance for my whole entire family is out fucking outrageous.
Mine's $5,000 a month.
Jesus Christ. Okay, yours is fucking outrageous.
$5,000 a month for health insurance just so I can go and see the doctor. And then when I go and see the doctor, as you know, I still have to do what's called my copay.
Yeah, you still got to meet your deductible. My copay,
so I still pay for it. And then if I get anything else done, like surgeries or whatever, I still got to pay 25%. If I call the ambulance, that still costs me $5,000. If Rebecca got pregnant, she's not covered for pregnancy. If you get cancer, I think there's only a certain percentage of that covered. It's fucking insane. It's crazy.
Okay, I thought mine's pretty expensive. But anyway,
or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not $5,000.
I hope something like that.
Rebecca!
Mine's a lot, for sure. Mine's a lot, for sure. But
yeah.
Yeah, so it would probably be something there. I just think that everyone should have the opportunity to have health insurance, given the, you know, if something really bad happens. Oh,
what is our health insurance payment a month?
$2,300.
Oh, $2,300. I was way off. I said $5,000. Yeah, I know. I'm like, if you've got something to say, say it quick. We're live on her. But still, $2,300 is a lot.
That's a shit ton.
Yeah, yeah. No, you know what I mean.
In here in Nebraska, that's a pretty nice house payment.
100%.
Really nice in house
England. In England, that's a huge house payment. Well, it depends where you're from, but where I'm from, I mean, obviously times have changed, but back in 1999, you know, rent was £500 a month. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm from a little small.
That's the one thing. And again, I don't think that's really taking one side or the other. It's just, I think that everyone should have the opportunity to at least be covered if an emergency happens. Like you get cancer, you get some bad disease, you get in a car accident, something like, can't just.
I just hate seeing when people get a nasty, serious disease that it bankrupts them. You know, like a friend.
Yeah, and they're on fucking GoFundMes and
the GoFundMes
just
shit.
Just give everyone health insurance. I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that works. But that'd be the thing. That'd be my thing.
Anyway, on that note, we're gonna leave you. Anthony Smith has got many vacations to take, and he's probably got a massage. And I don't know what are you? Are you going pearl diving this afternoon?
No, I got the massage yesterday.
That's nice.
And she comes here, like to the house, which is real nice. Yeah. I'm not gonna go anywhere.
Every time I have a massage, though. And especially when it's at a fucking expensive hotel. Because you've got a little, you know, the little Chinese massage place around the corner. Mm-hmm. It's cheap and they're great. I went with
they do a good job.
My dad and I went last week. We loved it. But when I'm in a hotel and I'm on holiday, it's a rip-off, but I still think, fuck it, I'm on holiday. I'm going to have a massage. I always fall asleep. And I wake up and I'm fuming because it's the most expensive massage known to man. And I slept.
Do the whole thing.
Anyway, Anthony. Enjoy the rest of your week training, buddy. Look forward to catching up with you next week. We're going to endeavor to do a show on Thursday. The reality is I don't have my laptop right now. I left it on the plane in Mexico. It gets delivered today. If it comes in time, we will have a show on Thursday. I might go down the Apple store right now and buy a quick one, but I haven't got much time. Anthony, we love and appreciate you. Good luck next week. Smash the last week of training. And all you believers, take care. Anthony, any words of wisdom for the believers?
No, I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you on Monday.